Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Barr on Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Katie McLean, and I'm on Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hey, this is Sydney Penny, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Stay tuned.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is October 6, 2008. I'm your host, Joanne, and please don't forget to go ahead and rate the shows and download them when we're done. Update, Tom Pelfrey from Guiding Light, formerly from Guiding Light, will be on Stardish Radio on the 9th, which is Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you tune in for that. I am about to bring my buddy Brandon on the phone. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Joanne. How's it going?
Everything is fine. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
How was your weekend?
It was very, very nice.
Ah, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it. How's the weather down in Texas? Is it still really hot?
It's still quite warm, but it's cooled off significantly from the summer. It was the most brutal summer. I've lived here. This is my 14th year down in Central Texas, and this is the worst summer I can ever remember. It's been so hot, but
really?
It's cooled off in the past 2 or 3 weeks, and so it's still quite warm during the day, but it's nothing like it was during the summer.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, it's already starting to get cold up here in Buffalo to the point where I actually had to wear gloves because my hands were so damn cold. And
wow. They
haven't felt like that in a long, long time. But, I mean, trust me, I welcome the cold weather, you know, because I get to break out some winter clothes and start dressing winterish. So
even
I don't
old
mind
winter
that.
Clothes?
I've been buying them little by little since I've been here.
Do you need winter clothes in Florida?
I actually had in from Florida maybe like a sweat jacket or a sweatshirt because it just does dip down into the 30s sometimes, 40s.
Okay.
You know, so it does get a little cool down there sometimes. Oh, and Georgette's on the phone. She can attest to that. It does get a little chilly. But since I've been here, little by little, I've been going to the store, you know, and picking this up, picking that up. I finally went and bought myself a pair of clothes shoes because I own nothing but flip-flops. So I have to actually go buy a pair of shoes, and they hurt like hell because I'm not used to wearing closed shoes anymore.
Yes.
So,
Have you seen snow yet this season?
Hail, not yet. Not snow yet, but it was hailing the other day. But tonight, it's 10 o'clock now. It's supposed to dip down to 32 tonight.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. Hello, Georgette.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good. Sorry, I was reading a text.
Oh, okay. Georgette's extremely excited, Brandon, about Tom Pelfrey, so.
I am. I can't wait.
That's quite a big get.
Yeah.
Be a show.
You know what? I mean, that was one of Georgette's wishes, and she got it, so. Who says the wish list is no good? Put your wishes on the wish list, and I'll do my damn best.
I want to meet him now.
All right, well, then I can't. Let's not get crazy, okay? I don't know if I can swing all that.
You have Julianne powers. No, wait. Let me rephrase that. You have powers of Chester and Richard.
Oh, how sweet. All right, so listen, this is what I was going through today and at kind of points of topic that I wanted to discuss today were famous or favorite, I should say, fight scenes, favorite emotional scenes, what was the most emotional scene on the soaps, and I was going through clips and clips and clips today, and I found so many scenes that I forgot all about that I just fell in love with all over again. I was crying like a bumbling baby at the computer today. let's start with like something like the scenes where BJ, Bobby and Tony's daughter, died, and then they immediately did the heart transplant on Maxie.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Exactly.
Huge tearjerker.
Oh my God.
Big tearjerker, and it
even,
is
even
just,
when you go back and watch it now, it holds up. It's
I cried. I definitely cried. I'll have to say that when I watched it.
You know, some of these old folk scenes, like from the 80s or whatever, when you go back and look at them, look so dated and so kind of, you know, what's non-contemporary. And you go back and look at some of those BJ Maxey scenes, and you can't hardly tell that 15 years have passed.
No, not at all.
And it still gets you right where you live.
Yeah. And they were a joy to watch, you know? I mean, they were really, really, it brought back a lot of memories. I mean, I've watched them all, but if you asked me about them, I wouldn't remember them unless I saw it. And after watching it, it just brought back a lot of memories. And you see Frisco, and it brings you kind of back to what soaps are supposed to be all about, that wonderful storytelling.
Well, as sad as those scenes were, they were so life-affirming and so, just so emotionally powerful. I mean, you couldn't turn away and you couldn't, it touched all of your emotions. You were sad,
right.
You were happy, you were, you know, it's a miracle of storytelling, that whole storyline.
Right. Another one of them was One Life to Live. When Megan died from lupus.
Oh.
The scenes with her and Jake, when he picked her up out of the bed and brought her over to the window to see the tree that they planted on their wedding day, and she just, like, died right in his arms as he was trying to hold her up. It was, I cried. It was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I forgot all about this stuff, and it was just really, really some powerful stuff. So that was another one of my favorites.
I had one.
What?
Stone and Robin.
That was another one on my list.
Robin.
Mm-hmm. That was another one.
I watched that back when I was 5.
Wow.
Back in the day. It's really funny,
yeah.
Though, because when I first met Maurice Bernard, the first thing I said to him, I said, oh, my God, you're so hot. This was 4 years ago. I was like, oh, my God, you're so hot. And then I said, I've been watching you since I was 5. And he goes, wow, that's great. This is what I want to hear. It was so funny. He was laughing. He thought it was hilarious.
That is cute. I watched that one today, too, Stone's death scene. And the scene where, or the episode rather, where Brooke English finds out about her daughter.
Oh, yes.
Laura. So that was another one, another good one right there. Again, very emotional and very just spot on, and the storytelling was really good. It's not like, I don't know, these ridiculous stories that they start to come up with, and they're dipping back into history because they can't come up with anything original. Like, let's say this storyline of the tornado. Don't you know Pine Valley already had a tornado? They did. I watched it today. Does anybody remember that?
Yes, and I have a feeling that this one is not gonna measure up nearly as well. But I mean, that one was, first of all, it was such an original idea for it was something you had never seen on daytime up to then.
Right.
And you know, it involved the whole cast, and I remember when the storylines that spun out from it. I mean, that's how Julia met Noah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they thought Tad was gonna die, and Tad went up to heaven, and that's when Kip Delaney came back and Darnell Williams came back.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, it involved the whole town, and the storylines that spun out from it were, I mean, they got 3 years worth of storyline out of that one event, and I don't see that happening this time. I don't know.
Oh, no, not at all. And I'll tell you, after watching those scenes today, like rewatching them, they were just incredibly powerful. When that tornado started to whip around and they were the Martins were all in their living room, and you know, Joe and Ruth went downstairs. Taz said, "Okay, go, go, go." And the doorbell was ringing, and he was walking towards the door. When that door blew off and smacked him down, I can't yeah. tell you, it was just so, so real. I just couldn't get over myself. I was like, wow, they won't show nothing like that now. I mean, it's so not even real compared to then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Big, big difference in the writing. Big, big difference.
I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I'm not holding my breath for anything nearly as exciting. Even if the effects, as they say, are much better than they were 15 years ago, I'm still not. We don't watch soaps for digital effects.
No, not at all. I mean, it's nice to make people look pretty, but you know, I mean, the tornado scenes were so realistic. From then, I can't remember the year off the top of my head, but...
It was 94, the summer of 94.
94. So the scenes were so realistic then for me to watch. I don't see how you would need a green screen to recreate it. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm really curious to see what they're going to do.
And back then it was all about the characters. It wasn't about the effects. It was about, you know, the people involved.
Yes.
They're going on and on these days about how the effects are going to be so cool. But, you know, who cares about all that if you don't care about the characters involved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was everybody, you know. I mean, every single person was involved. I mean, you had Sarah Michelle Gellar. Robin Mattson was there, and it was just really nice to see.
Mm-hmm. It felt like a real town.
Yeah. Who's that? You, Joy Cat? Tom Cassiello posted a blog. I'm gonna see if I could pull it up while I'm on the phone. Because what he said in it rang so true as far as my computer's been running really slow, so just hang on a minute. But it rang extremely true on how where are all the townspeople? Like, everything focuses around these core characters, but, like, where are the mom-and-pop stores and just the people in the town? You know, we used to have Myrtle Fargate's little dress boutique, but it's no longer there, and it's turned into, like, a little department store or something. That's what's missing from soaps, is the surrounding people. Let me see, where is it? Oh, I don't want to misquote him because it was really a good blog. Oh, by the way, if anybody didn't know, Stardust Radio was featured in the Palm Beach Daily News.
Oh, my.
Yes. For our show on Super Soap Weekend. The young lady that we had on the show, Michelle, she is a journalist for the Palm Beach Daily News, and she does their blog, which is at www.palmbeachdailynews.com/soapbox. They were the original soapbox. And they do a blog, and she did a blog on our show. And she posted the link, so if you went there, you would be able to hear it there also. So we made it to the newspaper.
Ooh. Very exciting.
So here's Tom Cassiello's blog. In my travels, I was exposed to all sorts of people I don't have access to in New York City, and it got me thinking, what has happened to the soap archetypes? It seems these days, if you're a guy on a soap, you're either a doctor, lawyer, cop, or businessman who is either B,
the strong, brooding, sullen type, or the wise, cracking, sarcastic, ominescent type. And if you're a sub team, forget about it. You're either A, angry and tortured with a great chest, or B, rich and angry and tortured with a great chest. And the girls don't fare too well either. Unless you're a comedic character, you're pretty much either the soap heroine or the bitchy vixen who will inevitably be sanitized and turned into choice A. So where are all the characters? So that got me thinking. It's like really true. Where are all the people? Where's the rugged outdoorsman, the rough around the edges guy who's more comfortable in the wild, camping and fishing, and listening to country music while not vilified as a country hick? And why isn't he the one romancing the spoiled brat rich heroine? You know? And where is the prankster, the man who covers up the pain in his past with jokes and flippant remarks? And he has in parentheses calling all Jack Devereaux's. I don't know. I just thought it was a really good blog, and he made some really valid points there, you know, that maybe somebody really needs to see.
I think they've been victims of budget cuts.
Yeah.
And unimaginative writers, but that's been a victim of budget cuts also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Some good fight scenes. Carly and Sam, when after she broke up with Jason, that was a really good one.
I loved that one. That was great.
Where she smacked her right across the kisser, and then Carly dove right on top of her. That was really good. Also, what I really liked was the one where Carly goes to Elizabeth's house when she figures out about Jake being Jason's kid, and she goes in and she starts talking to her, and she's like, you know, you're saying a whole hell of a lot coming from the town whore, you know, and whack. I was like, all right.
Yes, believe it or not, I have that one on my iPod. I know that makes me like a freak, but I do. I swear to God, I do.
Oh, my gosh.
I know that makes me sound like a freak, but I tell you what, I love Laura Wright. I think she is fabulous.
And
there's nothing better than when Laura Wright's pissed off. Nothing better.
Yeah, I can agree on that. I really like it when she gets mad. But I also, see, Laura Wright is a character that you can love to hate. And she's also a character that I think is a little misunderstood. You know, I mean, there's nothing that she does so far that makes me hate her. You know, even though she's done some questionable things, I still like her. I mean, she's like Susan Lucci. She's just one of those people that can do no wrong on a soap, no matter how bad it is.
I think she straddles that line very well. She finds the likability. She finds the empathy inside Carly.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be very tough to play, because Carly can seem like a shrew sometimes and a nosy busybody, and Laura Wright always finds some angle in there to make you maybe not necessarily see things her way, but empathize with her and sympathize with her.
Right.
I think she's just masterful. I love Laura Wright.
I know you do.
I think
she's
fabulous.
And I'm telling
you
that when we go to Super Soap Weekend, I'm getting you a Laura Wright autograph. I have to tackle her down Main Street. I'll get it. She might not like me, but I'll get it.
That's all I ask. Just don't get arrested.
I won't get arrested. The Disney police will come and wrangle me up. I finally caught up on all the soaps this week, except for today's, of course. I had a busy day, but I'll watch them later. So that's why I didn't really want to talk about today. But if you saw it, Brandon, what happened today that was interesting?
I saw a little bit of One Life. But you know what? I missed Friday. And so the last thing I saw on One Life was Marty Googling what happened to her in the past.
Oh, yeah.
And then I never saw the outcome of that, so I'm not sure exactly what happened there.
Basically...
Last thing I saw was Todd walking in just as she found the story about her rape, and Todd walked
right
in the door.
Basically, so, he danced around it, especially since, you know, the face change and all that. She wanted to know who out of the four was the one who did not rape her.
Okay.
And he pointed to Kevin Buchanan.
Okay.
And he left himself alone, you know, because it's a whole another person. And I guess it's with the hopes of thinking that she's never going to figure out what happened. So he convinced she was about to click on where it said view entire story, where it would have given up the names. And he convinced her, you know, so sneakily not to, you know, and was like, oh, you know, you want to leave your past in the past. You said you didn't want to go there. And then finally she was just like, okay, and she shut it, and that was it.
Okay.
So she escaped that.
And Dorian confronted Clint about the whole Langston Ray thing.
Yeah. That,
and,
I missed the ending of that, right.
And Nora overheard Talia and Antonio talking about Ray Montez, this murderer from Colombia, and so that whole thing's fixing to explode, I think.
Oh, okay. That was today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't see today. Oh, good, good. I'm glad about that.
It feels like they're really building to a kick-ass November. I may be wrong about that, but it seems like all these secrets are getting ready to explode, and it's going to be a pretty exciting month over there, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a good sweeps month, I hope. I mean, the most all my children can come up with is another storm. So, I mean, you know, all right, well, let's see how that works out. I'm looking at my spoilers for all my children.
Did you catch the news today about Laura Kaufman?
About
I don't know if you recognize that name or not, but Laura Kaufman, she wasn't the first Cassie on One Life to Live, but she was probably the most famous, the most successful Cassie. And she's just been cast as Jesse's ex-lover on All My Children.
Oh, no. Okay. No, that's I was just looking at the spoilers to see. It said that. But, no, I didn't see the name, and I didn't have time to – I didn't Google it. Really? That's pretty fantastic. They said that they were going to do an interracial couple with him. And that's supposed to spark up some more controversy.
It should be good. She's a fabulous actress, so it should be good. She should match up with Debbie Morgan quite well.
Oh, well, you know, with no doubt. I have no qualms about that. I welcome stuff like that. She is so pretty, too.
Yeah. And so, she was let go from One Life in such a shoddy way. It's good to see her finally back on the scene.
Right. No, yeah, that'll be really good. Now, I'm looking at a picture of her now. So that's gonna be a good one. I hope it really pays off for all of these big names that they're bringing back. You know, I really do. I'm really pulling for all my children, but I'm still a little worried. Somebody might get swept up under the house during the tornado.
I don't know. That show's been in such trouble for so long. I don't know.
It may be hard to recover.
I don't know. Bigger miracles have happened, I suppose. But
yeah, I guess so. Let's see. So this week on All My Children, anyhow, Aiden's supposed to Greenlee's supposed to find out about Aiden bugging her earring. Babe and JR decide that they want to move to California. Colby lends an ear to Pete about his plan with Adam, and now it's pretty much will she be able to keep her mouth shut. And Annie, what's the story with Annie? Is she really being stalked? Or what the hell is wrong with her?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't get my mind around it. I don't know if it's the writer's trying to make us feel sorry for her or if it's just another one of her schemes she's cooked up.
I'll tell you, from the back of the guy's head at one point, it almost looked like JR. So, I don't know. I that's just like a whole weird-ass thing that they got going over there. They're making her all kinds of wacky. And I don't understand the whole point of that. I really don't. Oh,
well,
what about... Go ahead, I'm sorry. I'll say that one in a minute.
No, I was just saying, it's been the ticket to success for several other shows. You know, Guiding Light some time ago had Cynthia Watchos playing Annie, and she flipped and went crazy, and the ratings skyrocketed. And you know, it's several times in the past, it's been quite the ticket to success. So maybe that's what they're going for here.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna switch over to General Hospital Friday when Rick walks in and sees Anthony Zakara fully mobile. Putting away the gun, which I
was
real
Friday?
Happy about. That was this past Friday, I believe, episode.
Yeah, I didn't see it Friday, and I didn't see it today.
Yeah, it was. I believe it was Friday's. I didn't see today's, so I'm waiting to see that. A lot of trouble brewing for Sonny and Jason, big time this week. Jason and Cody over here, Sonny, in the act of plotting a takeover. The rumors have to be to rest that Spinelli is actually Olivia and Sonny's child because when she was at the hospital, she talked to her son on the phone, and she called him Dante something or other Falconeri, so we know it's not Spinelli.
Okay.
So whoever the hell it is, I don't know. His name is Damien, and it just wasn't, it's not our Spinelli, which would have been really funny if it was, but, Tony's on the phone.
Hey, Joanne, hey, Brandon, how you guys doing,
hey.
Tony? Hey. Sorry, I'm late. I have a class right now. How you doing?
You what?
My yoga class, man, I'm off. How you doing?
Oh, everything's good. Everything's good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fantastic. Hey, I want to shed a little light on that situation you just mentioned about the call Olivia got from Dante. Yeah, you're right. Spinelli is not his son. Because Spinelli, at the time that he got the phone call, that Olivia got the phone call from Dante, Spinelli was actually kissing Nadine.
Right.
Nadine was kissing him right. Because trying to make him jealous because she's like, Nicholas is the one in the car. I don't understand that situation. You know what I mean?
Tony? I don't know. I lost him.
Okay,
I heard
home.
A lot of wind. Huh? I heard a lot of wind.
Yeah, I think he was walking back from somewhere.
Yoga class, I think he said.
Okay.
That's cool. But anyway, I'm looking through these spoilers, and it looks like GH is going to be pretty good this week, and it's a possibility that, I would like to see Sonny and Jason go up against each other. I'd like to see that mob war.
Well, it would be something different, for sure. It would be something...
Yeah. I mean, the last time we saw Sonny and Jason fighting was over Emily.
Okay, yeah.
So, but I would like to see a big struggle here, you know, between the two of them for that business. I mean, Jason repeatedly said that if he ever wanted it back, all he had to do was ask. And now he's asking for it, and he ain't giving it up. So I'm looking forward to a possible fight with them.
And what's the story with Laura? Did we ever figure out if it was all in Lulu's mind or if she's actually awake?
You know what? It came out saying that it actually was not in her mind, and that Luke is supposed to be reunited with her when he comes back on the screen at the end of the month.
Okay.
So I'm happy about that, and I think that, let's see, yes, so that's what it's, we learned that Lulu is not as crazy as she thinks she is when Luke returns, and Tracy is actually harboring the secret. So I believe that Tracy knows about Laura, and she's going to pretend like, you know, it's not so, because she knows that once Luke finds out about Laura, she's done. She's history.
So is that how they're going to explain Jeannie Francis leaving the campus again, that Tracy's going to stash her away somewhere? Or?
Probably. I don't know. I really wish they would friggin' stop using this woman. I really do. It's just really sickening. I heard she moved to California now, so maybe they'll keep her. Oh, there's Tony again.
Hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. Yeah, some video knocked my car out. I think the blacktop knocked me out.
What?
I think the block top person knocked me off, cut me off. You know, and I had to get back on.
Oh, well, we heard a lot of wind, and then we didn't hear you, so we thought maybe it was the cell phone or something.
Yeah, I'm outside. You know, I'm outside. They told you I'd hit my yoga class just got done. I'm outside waiting on the bus for home.
Okay.
Okay,
so,
continue what you were discussing. I might be able to chime in. Go ahead.
We were just talking about how they utilize Jeannie Francis and how when it's going to come back to prove that Lulu is not as crazy as she thinks when Luke gets home.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be, I think that's exactly what might happen, because, you know, Lulu thinks she's going crazy. You know, she thinks she was actually talking to her mom, but people are saying that she just hallucinated her. And she thinks that he didn't really talk to her, but no one knows, she probably did. But then again, she may not have. And Tracy knows about Laura's condition, and she's using it to her advantage. Now, you saw her last week. If you did see her last week, she was telling Johnny, you know, when he was outside the room, about Lulu's condition and this and that.
Right.
He probably knew, and Johnny didn't even want to tell nobody. And I think she also pressed Johnny to let Lulu get better by, you know, leaving her. So that's why Johnny probably went on crazy. You know, he probably did all this, pretending to be, you know, doing this fake stuff just to help her get better. He was pretending to be mad with her. Unless that was a hallucination that I didn't know about.
Right.
Unless it's a hallucination. Unless that was a hallucination, too. You know, did Johnny pretend to be mad at her? I think that might have been either that or hallucinating that she created, too. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell with that.
Right. We'll see what happens. It should be really interesting to see what they're going to do with her. I mean, again, it is sweet, so I don't see her going anywhere until at least after that, if that's the case.
Yep. That's about right.
Yeah, definitely is. Now, honey, where am I? Evidently, Jason... Well, we know Jason's going to refuse to hand over the organization. And Rick and Claudia finally have their little sex scene in the next week. And he admits to being extremely attracted to her dangerous side. So I guess Rick is kind of like acting like half the females on the show and their attraction to the bad boy. So now he's being attracted to the bad girl. So I guess Rick is the bitch of the group.
Okay. Yeah, just tip for tat, they say. You know, and all the women, all the nice girls go after the bad boys, and now it's the reversal. The cool guy like Rick, the more suave, clean guy, or cool guy, you know, handsome, rich, handsome lawyer guy, now going after the bad Vixen Mella, Claudia.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how that happens, how that develops, because he still does a good dynamic between the two. That's what I feel.
Right.
What about
this
whole...
with Alexis?
What?
Am I the only one who misses him with Alexis?
Rick?
Yeah, the only time I've ever liked that character was when he was with Alexis.
I did like him with Alexis because he was more on the straight and narrow, and I liked the idea of the two lawyers being together. I liked the whole family thing that they had going on because that's like a rarity now. And, you know, she kind of like steered him away from the whole revenge thing with Sonny, but I don't think he could ever get past it with her, especially knowing that, you know, she had his kid also. So yeah, I do kind of miss it. I didn't like him with Elizabeth.
Me either. I never got it. I never understood it. I never bought it.
I thought it was a little creepy because Elizabeth was young and he seemed rather old for her.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really buy that whole thing. It, to me, that was more like a Sonny and Emily thing, which I never liked either.
Me too, man. That was nasty.
It was totally nasty.
I mean, come on. You got a monster, like Sonny Corleone, then you got a sweet girl, or sweet or tough girl, sweet but tough Emily Quartermain. I mean, come on, those two going to be together? I'm like, wait a minute. I said, hold on. How about you going to possibly put this combination together? I mean, it doesn't work. It's like oil and vinegar. It doesn't work.
But it's not even the characteristic of the fact that she is Emily Quartermain and this young, sweet girl. I mean, young did fit into the pattern. To me, I guess because I've been watching Sonny on that show for so long, I mean, Emily was a pre-pubescent teen when he had a strip club. So, I mean, to me, watching him with her was just, like, really nasty. It was kind of like that dirty old man thing, but in a creepy way.
That is so true. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. 100%.
Yeah.
This is random, but... I just watched the soap scoop for this week for GH. It looks... GH looks pretty good this week.
Yeah, it's supposed to revolve around Sonny and Kate. Thank God. Well, Kate got shot. She's in the hospital.
Who cares? We can see someone else other than her.
Well,
you know,
I don't know.
Beth.
Describe the promo. What did it say?
It was Jeff Pastore is going to be on Wednesday. And then Lucky and Sam have sex. Yes, on a couch, sweet. that's all I'm waiting for. Somehow Robin is inside the interrogation room with handcuffs on, or Patrick is, and they finally decide to get married.
Oh, because you know why? Mac arrests him again.
For what?
Because Robin proposed to him, and he said no.
Oh. So Mac
kind of
like... Let me get this straight. Mac's going to take it upon himself to lock them in the room until they decide that they need to get married. Since when? I know he's protected, Rob. I know that. But come on, she's a grown adult. Okay, if she doesn't want to marry him or they don't want to get married, that's their business.
Right, but he's kind of doing it because he knows it. I see what you're saying, but Anna is the one who kind of initiated it all and asked him to help her see the right way. So Robin went to Patrick and proposed to him and said, you know, it took me to realize now that, you know, this is really what I want. And then he says, well, no, I'm going to give you what you want and not marry you. And now she's like, well, damn, now I want to marry him and he don't want to marry me. So bottom line, they decide enough is enough. He arrests him, he arrests her, and throws them in the tank together until they agree to marry each other.
Oh,
So, I mean, I'm getting a little over that whole storyline. I can't wait for her to pop that baby out already and do something with it. I mean, is it just me, or?
Well, I have never
known
a problem.
No, it's not you. No, go ahead, man.
What, Brandon?
I said I've never cared for Robin ever, so it's you know, as my best friend Sherrianne said, I've never been so tired of a baby in my whole life, and it's not even been born yet. So
right.
I completely concur.
Yeah, I'm a little over it already. We already know that it's a girl. We already know it's this. We already know it's that. Well, you know what? Pop the damn thing out already. Make it 15 and let it drive somewhere.
Exactly.
I mean,
my point, Joanne.
Pop it out.
I'm like, come on, enough already. If you want to get married, get married. Come on. We don't have to hear this about 30 times. We have to hear this about a million times. Say, he said no, he said she said no. Come on. Get with it. What about it?
Right.
No.
Let's see. I'm going to... In the ABC Soaps and Deaths for the week of October 20th, this is, I'm going to read this. This is for General Hospital Ins and Outs. Status, on the heels of Steve Burton's revelation in the last issue of In Depth that he longs to hang up Jason's holster and stay home with his family, comes word that Maurice Bernard's deal with GH to play Sonny is set to expire in December. Could poor Charles soon be missing both of its smoothest criminals? Nothing is set in stone yet, and when we last spoke with Bernard, he was happy as a clam with his storyline opposite Megan. With Lisa LoCicero as Olivia now in place as a spoiler to Skate's romance and a secret son on the way to boot, the door is open for endless new storyline possibilities. In Depth has learned that Bernard is currently in talks with ABC about renegotiating his contract, so he's not going anywhere. Luke and Laura do reunite. With Jeannie Confrances confirmed to return to GH at the end of October, will Luke get to witness her next awakening? Yes, Laura's comeback will coincide with the return of Anthony Geary, who hit the road in May. He's been gone a long friggin' time. He left in May to beat the money laundering charges, and Tony and Jeannie will reunite on General Hospital the week of October 20th. But Tony is back the week before, so he'll be back next week. Bob Guza says, huh?
He started taping 2 weeks ago.
Right. Bob Guza says that Luke will return under the direst of situations and he'll be much needed. He's not going to just wind up on the Quartermain couch this time. Laura will most definitely play a part in his return. This is an ongoing thing with Laura, says Guza. In the second run, we will also answer the question about Laura's future. Will she be coming back again? Is she real or a figment of Lulu's imagination? We're not going to do it the same way we did it before. Rest assured, there will definitely be no LS-49. So we'll see what happens with that. Rick Hurst has signed a new contract that will keep him on the show for another 3 years. So he's not going anywhere.
So am I the only one who thinks that Maurice Bernard and Steve Burton leaving the show would be the best thing that ever happened to the show?
You know what, though? See, there's a difference, and I'm going to answer that very carefully because, let's see. Go ahead, Brandon. What?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, General Hospital has the most ridiculously loyal fans, and I think they have the most younger viewers.
you know, that are very into the mob and very into that whole Jason and Sonny storyline. So whereas, you know, people who watch soaps for the reasons that we do, yeah, I would like to see it go back to the way it was when it was not surrounded only by the Port Charles mob. And I would like to see other stories involved and not, you know, being centered around Sonny and Jason. So I agree with you there, but I think there's probably more people out there that want to see the violence and all that, because pretty much that just took over our entire society. So that's what I say.
Okay. I just think if they left, it would force that show to completely regroup and realize, you know, how many other completely wasted assets they have over there, and I think it would be a huge shot in the arm for them if I think
great.
That would be a huge opportunity for them to regroup and recognize, you know, how many assets they really have that are being completely misused and completely wasted.
It would force them to take another look and see what they got and be like, okay, you know what? Now we have to do this, that, and the other thing and, you know, pull all these other people out of the closet. Where is, you know, where's Alexis? But, you know, I love Alexis with Diane, but this whole comedic thing that they got going on is great. But, you know what, give her a storyline other than Jerry Jax.
Yeah, it's not good enough. She is one of the best actresses to ever be on daytime, and she should be in major storylines year-round.
Right.
And she hasn't had a major storyline in 2 years now.
No, she hasn't. I mean, her last major storyline, wasn't it the lung cancer or her Sam sleeping with Rick?
Yep.
Huh. I agree, Brandon. I'm looking here in ABC Soaps in Depth. I didn't realize that Kiko Ellsworth and his girlfriend, Christine Carlo, ex-Leticia, became newlyweds over the summer. They got married. Our girl, Chrishell Stouse, is in there with Graham Bunn, just, you know, snapping shots at parties. So go girl there. And
you know what, Joanne? I can just interrupt something. Speaking of Chrishell, did any of you see that Rachel Ray show last week when T was on there along?
I did not watch it, no.
Yeah, she was competing along with Brandon Buddy, our buddy's Brandon Buddy, who plays Cole on One Night to Live, and what's that guy? And the guy who plays Grady on Dynamite, I forget his name, Kane, what's his name? I forgot his name. But they were competing on Survivor, in a Survivor event. To promote the season premiere of Survivor that night. Jeff Carlson
right.
was there. And Chrishell kicked both of their butts.
Oh, did she really? I got to watch it on YouTube. I forgot all about it that day, and by the time I remembered, it was Rachel Ray had come and gone already. So.
Yeah, they had her hanging. They had all three of them hanging on a vine. Again, the longest, whoever was hanging up there, the longest wins. And Chrishell outlasted both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know Chrishell is a very strong girl. You know, she's very fit and she's very strong.
Right.
Yeah. So she outlasted both of them. And I'm like, oh, when I saw that, I'm like, yes, she did good. Chrishell did good. She outlasted the guys. I'm like,
Georgette.
Yeah.
There's a little blurb in Soaps in Depth about Brittany Underwood.
I saw it already.
You did?
I did, yeah, actually. I don't have the magazine yet, but I saw it.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. It says, nobody is going to slow down Brittany Underwood, especially if she's on her way to work, as part of a morning rush hour crowd in New York. everything is just kind of fast-paced in the mornings, and people aren't slow. So when you want to move it, you're like, snap, snap. And everybody just kind of knows that in the morning rush, you just go, she says, adding that the pace of the city while the sun is rising is one of her favorite things about the Big Apple. Everybody understands that it's a rhythm. You can see it, you can feel it, and even though it can be a little overwhelming, it brings everyone together. It's so cute. She's so cute. Go, Brittany. Go, girl.
That's Brittany.
Go ahead, Georgette. It's your girl.
That's my girl.
That's your girl. That's right. That's your girl.
Question, who would you guys like to see come back to ABC Daytime? Robin Christopher, Linda Dano, or Gina Tognoni?
Linda
Dano. Robin Christopher.
We're all split, Robin Christopher.
I guess so.
I would crack glass to have Linda Dano back in daytime in any capacity.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try and get her back on, see if she wants to talk about soaps.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great.
That'll be good. That'll be good indeed.
Yeah. She evidently did very well with that home design thing that she had on. QVC or Home Shopping Network. So maybe I can get her to come back on and talk about soaps. We'll see what happens.
She's the best.
Yeah, she was really a great lady and a great guest. That 30 minutes went by so fast, it was insane. Real quick, we have 8 minutes left. I'm going to try and, maybe I can do half of it today and half of it tomorrow. Okay, wait a minute. You know what? I'm going to do this one thing I'm thinking about tomorrow and do the countdown of the 100 best soap couples. But I have a question for the soap people here that are listening that are into the trivia. Monica first realized that Alan, not Rick, was AJ's father when A, an emergency blood transfusion proved it couldn't be Rick. B, she saw that the baby had a quartermain birthmark. Or C, a DNA test was ordered by Tracy.
I
would guess A, but that's just a guess.
I'm gonna say B.
Okay, Tony won that one. It was because she saw that the baby had a quartermain birthmark. Next question. Laura was adopted and raised by the Vinings because A, they kidnapped her, B, she was left on her doorstep, C, Leslie's father told her that her baby died and took the girl from her. Brandon?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. B?
I will say C.
Yes, Tony, you are right. Too bad I don't have a prize, but you're right.
this is all way before my time.
Question number 3. Before becoming a nurse, Audrey was A, a stewardess, B, a model, C, an heiress.
What's the question? Let me ask this again.
Before becoming a nurse, Audrey was A, a stewardess, B, a model, C, an heiress.
I would say, well, it couldn't be an heiress. And a model, I don't know about that. I'm going to say A. Stewardess.
Damn it, Tony. You did it again. I think you're cheating, man.
He's cheating.
I'm
not. You got the book in front of you. You stand at the supermarket, aren't you?
I don't got no book in front of me. Go on now. I don't got no book in front of me. I just had a wild guess.
Okay.
Because I remember Audrey in one of the episodes about a few years back, mentioned that she was a stewardess.
Uh-huh. Okay. Number 4, the campaign Laura modeled for was A, Miss Star Eyes, B, the face of deception, C, enchantment. Brandon.
What was the question again?
The campaign Laura
yeah.
modeled for was A, Miss Star Eyes, B, the face of deception, or C, enchantment?
It wasn't B, because that was Elizabeth and Gia.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, it's got to be A.
Yes, Brandon. Damn it, give that boy some applause. He won that one.
A standing over for me. I love it.
Okay, one more. Jax left Brenda at the altar after A, learning he was still married to Alexis, B, realizing he was not over Sky, C, seeing her kiss Sunny the night before.
I feel like we're playing Millionaire.
Okay, say it again. Say that last syllable again, too.
Jax left Brenda at the altar after A, learning he was still married to Alexis, B, realizing he was not over Sky, or C, seeing her kiss Sunny the night before.
I'm going to throw it out there. Got to be C.
Yeah.
All righty. You guys, you definitely won that one. I thought that was a cute little...
Did he see them kiss, or did she tell him that they slept together?
It says that he saw her kiss Sunny the night before they were supposed to get married.
The way I remember it was they slept together and she told him the next
morning. That's why cheating. To him, that's why cheating. That's what that was.
Well, 100 all-time greatest daytime couples. Let's see. We only got 3 minutes left, but I'll just throw some out there. 100 was Jason and Leanne from One Life to Live. Oh, you remember them? I forgot all about them now that I'm looking at the picture. Wasn't that Yasmin Bleeth?
Yes, that
was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was a real long time ago. Langley and Phoebe from All My Children.
God bless their souls.
98 was Stefan and Laura from General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Loving was Alex and Ava.
Yep.
I liked Alex and Ava, too.
I love Randolph Mann, too. I love him.
Yeah, well, I'm working on that one, buddy. Sloan and Vicky from One Life to Live.
Okay.
95 was Jeremy and Natalie. Oh, by the way, John Leclerc, speaking of Jeremy, will be on Stardish the
17th.
Yes.
The
13th, which is a
Monday.
Monday
night. Week from tonight. Leclerc. John Leclerc.
Yes, John Leclerc will be with us that night. So that's pretty cool. But, and Tom Pelfrey will be here on the 9th, and Matt Borlenghi is coming back on, what did I say, the 16th?
Oh, yeah. Tom Pelfrey's going to be here this week. Oh, that is going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Brandon, don't forget, Matt Borlenghi is coming back.
I'm so happy he's coming back. I'm so glad he enjoyed himself.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, I had to talk about that golf tournament he was taking part in late September, a couple of weeks ago back in South Carolina.
Right.
I'm talking about that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to cut it off here. We're at 90. We're going to start pick it up tomorrow at number 94, number 93. 94 was Charlie and Cecily on All My Children. So we'll pick it up at 93.
Yeah.
That really was. And we'll have more things to talk about tomorrow. And I guess that's it from Stardish Radio. So we'll talk to you tomorrow night. How about that?
All right. That was good for me. So good night, everybody. Take care.
Brandon, Tony, Joanne, thank you.
Thank you,
Joanne.
Hi, Tony. And good night. Good night, Brandon. Good night, Joanne. Good night, Joanne. Good night. Good night, America.
Good night.
Hey, I'm Eden Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.